Hotline is on the air on News Talk 1310 KNPT, AM 1400 KBCH, and AM 820 KWDP. Hotline brings you interesting, informative, and fun guests with a variety of topics. Here's your host, Kira Morgan.
And good morning. Thanks so much for joining me this morning on Hotline with my wonderful guests. I have Mark Farley joining us once again, and he has dragged kicking and screaming in here with him some fellow members of the science community, which we love to hear from. And he has Michael Banks, who's joining us this morning for Hotline. So let's find out a little bit about our guests and what we're going to be talking about today. Michael, welcome, and tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm a professor here at Oregon State. My duty station is at Hatfield, and I run a program there in marine fisheries genetics. Very fascinating job I have, teaching people about all the wonderful ways in which different creatures are made and how they engineer their different ways of doing life, and trying to focus on ways of helping the fishery and other ways we can better manage the creatures that we live among. I also direct a wonderful institute there, which is all about collaboration with our NOAA partners. So at the Hatfield, we have a lot of different people from different organizations, and this institute is all about trying to take advantage of as many opportunities that we have for OSU people to collaborate with the federally funded people. And so that's a very fun other part, a lot more sort of people management and enabling and looking for potentials and realizing what we can.
Now, you've been doing this, I presume, for quite a while now. What is it that got you sparked? What is it that made you want to work on fisheries?
Well, actually, it's a long story to answer, but
we've got an hour.
I actually grew up in Africa. I'm born in Zimbabwe, but pretty young, we moved into South Africa. And every year, my father was a large animal veterinarian, and we lived in a cattle area, much like Tillamook. But every year he would take a month off and we would go down to the coast. And Africa has some amazing coasts. And I just fell in love with that habitat. And I, as I matured, I realized that that's actually 70% of the world. And we know very relatively little about it. And I decided that's what I wanted to devote my life to. And that's why I'm basically here. I grew up in a time in South Africa where we had the apartheid government and basically needed to escape that. And I wanted to learn how to grow high quality protein. And my long-term goal was to return to Africa to share that skill. I haven't yet pulled that off yet, but that's why I got into aquaculture and why I'm doing what I do.
And let's talk about your work with students at OSU. That must be pretty exciting to pass on what you've learned and see them get that spark also, right?
That is really the joy of why I do what I do. It's just amazing. You know, you get these don't be offended, students, but you get these naive people who come wide-eyed and with some interesting comments about life, and you kind of put them in lab, and over the weeks and months, all of a sudden, you actually really amazed at what they're teaching you, and I just love that process of seeing the talent and working with the talent and then having them increase your talents. And I continue to be amazed at how much more I have to learn from each student. And it's really a fun process that I love.
And do you work with students like taking them out on the ocean, or is it just mostly lab work that you do with them?
Well, a lot of our bench space really is in the lab because we study the genomes of all these organisms. These days we have access to incredible resources that, you know, we can actually do the full genome in a marine lab like Newport now. And so it is a lot of bench work and in the lab, but I always like to take students out and myself too. I love to be out there, and actually one of my most recent joys in that regard was that in September last year, I got to spend 9 days on the Shimada, one of the large NOAA ships that we have here, which was just such a delight. We did the Newport line, which is a transect starting a mile off Otter Rock, and basically going west all the way to 250 miles offshore. And it's absolutely amazing experiencing that and watching how the environment changes as you go. And actually we stop every 5 or 10 miles and put out nets and see what's there. And it's just incredible that as you go, the water changes color, the creatures change. And it was just, you guys, if anybody ever gets a chance to go on one of those NOAA boats, please do it, because it's incredible. They have amazing cooks. It's just incredible, and I just love that. And we basically did that, and then we did some transects around Heseda Head, and then we went all the way down to California and did another transect. I think we went out to 150 miles off Trinidad. And it was amazing. And I want to share the other amazing thing about this. I haven't spent much time on ships, and certainly not, this was my first week on a ship. And one of the things I found fascinating, I study genomics and behavior and biology. And so I often, watch myself in that respect. And one of the things that was incredible for me was actually coming back and getting off the boat and then returning to my life. I live out in Logston on a farm, and I usually get up every night to go to the bathroom. And for 3 nights, as I got up, my body would be rocking backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And I was absolutely amazed that that feeling of being on the ocean just stayed with me for that long. And I know maybe there's some fishermen out there listening to this. Maybe you know this is the old thing, but for me, it was amazing.
All right, wonderful. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back talking more with Michael Banks and all the wonderful things that he's doing right after this.
Now that the holidays are done, it's a great time to get the home cleaned and organized. Store away holiday decorations with a big selection of totes from Mills Ace Hardware's 2 stores in Lincoln City. Choose from a shoebox size all the way up to a 28-gallon size. Maximize your storage space with 5 shelving units now on sale at $29.99. Mills Ace Hardware's 2 stores in Lincoln City. Ace is the place.
Road and Driveway are a fourth-generation, family-owned and operated business. Since 1972, they've been serving the entire coastal communities. Discover their many products and services, everything from asphalt paving, driveway and roadway building, crest rock, and all sizes, just to name a few. It's a good time to call Road and Driveway and get your road graded and graveled. Call Road and Driveway in Newport soon and get it scheduled. Visit them at roadanddriveway.com.
Waddell & Reed Financial Advisors present a simpler way. Today we simplify your mobile phone bill.
Pay the number at the very bottom of the page and hope for the best.
No more headaches there. If you demand easy-to-understand solutions that make sense, Waddell & Reed should be handling your retirement planning. We'll work with you to develop a plan that's well thought out to help you avoid future surprises. Your financial advice doesn't need to be complex, just good. Waddell & Reed, member SIPC.
This is Dwayne Silbernagle of Waddell & Reed inviting you to our office in Lincoln City.
Come into Lowe's this new year for savings on everything you need to cut the clutter and start fresh. Get your entire home in order with up to 25% off on select storage and organization products, including a Commander 5-gallon black tote, just $368. It's perfect for storing away holiday decorations and getting the garage in order for the new year. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through January 31st, while supplies last, U.S. only.
Hotline continues on News Talk 1310 KNPT, AM 1400 KBCH, and AM 820 KWDP.
All right, welcome back. We are having a great conversation about science here on Hotline this morning with Michael Banks, professor with OSU. And so let's talk a little bit. I have the acronym here, but I don't know what it stands for, so we're going to share this. CIMRS. What is that?
So that's the Cooperative Institute for Marine Resources Studies. As I mentioned in the introduction, one of the hats that I wear here is directing this institute, which is all about finding ways for collaboration between the many people working for the federal government here at Hatfield and those working for the university. So we actually have three main partners, people from the Northwest Fisheries Science Center, which is a fisheries lab of NOAA. They're headquartered up in Seattle. And then the Pacific Marine Environmental Laboratory, which is another NOAA lab headquartered in Seattle, but out of a different, they call them line offices in NOAA. And that's the OAR line office, Organization of Atmospheric Research, I believe. And so they more kind of engaged in some of the physical aspects of the ocean. And this group here is specifically related to volcanology and understanding how the base of our ocean may be changing owing to movements of the plates. And so that's the second group. And then the third group is the Alaska Fisheries Science Center, which is also a fisheries lab, but they're more focused on behavior of fishes rather than actually managing the fishery. We also actually increasingly have engaged with another line office of NOAA called the National Ocean Service, and they are more interested in issues that are coming up, like, for example, sea level rise, and we have a very large project looking at how Oregon's population may be responding and how they would value the use of natural structures as a means of bolstering our community for the predicted sea level rise, given that folks have noticed that there's a little less ice up at the poles than was typical, and obviously that ice goes somewhere, and we have this risk of sea level rise. So it's a really wonderful position I have, in that we can collaborate with any aspect of NOAA. So I just mentioned those major partners, but for example, our current administration has focused a lot more on weather than climate, and so a lot more money has gone into the Weather Service. And I've been encouraging my colleagues to follow the money and look towards that as a means of supporting their research. And actually, quite a number of faculty based in CEOS, so the College of Earth, Ocean, and Atmospheric Sciences, which are based in Corvallis, have gone after some of those opportunities. And we may go after any aspect of our research interests in partnership with NOAA, and basically collaborate with anybody anywhere in the country, which is really amazing.
That's incredible. Amazing.
I've kind of, for the audience, this CIMRS, which is the way we say that acronym.
Okay, thank you.
Is an interesting mechanism, because the federal government, and if you're an organization like NOAA, you can't just hand somebody money. There's rules around it. There's
right.
A lot of rules around it. It has to be a grant. It has to be procurement. So there's only a couple buttons they can push when they want to work with somebody. And so for them, it gets very cumbersome to simply say, hey, scientists from OSU, we'd really like to work on this, and I'd like to pay you a little to do it. So the organization was created as a bridge between sort of state and federal monies. And it's sort of a fascinating and brilliant, we always talk about how government gets bigger and, that's bad. CIMRS is a great example of somebody being innovative in that space, where government didn't get bigger, it just got smarter.
Yeah, actually, NOAA spends about half of their total budget through this mechanism. There are actually 16 of these cooperative institutes distributed around the country. And what's really sweet about what we have here in Newport is kind of the scope and size of what we have. Across the bay, we have very active relationships with fishermen. We have all kinds of different federal engagement at Hatfield, and then all the different aspects of the state. Our Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, of course, is very much there. And we just sort of have a size where we all are rubbing shoulders together. And so it's a wonderful situation for realization of potentials and opportunities. And it's basically my job to keep scoping around and seeing potentials and then linking them up with potential support. And actually, it's a lot of co-matching. We actually, half of the CIMA's budget comes from other sources. So we may get some funds out of NOAA, but then we will match that with funds out of the Office of Naval Research or the National Science Foundation, or even collaboration with a lot of other universities who have similar interests. And so we work a lot with the University of Washington, the University in San Diego, others in California, and even a lot of the satellite work actually takes place in collaboration with some of the East Coast, more satellite-based cooperative institutes.
That is absolutely fascinating how that, as Mark said, kind of creates a hub and comes together. Mm-hmm. We need to take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about some National Science Foundation funded programs that you've been working on. Right after this.
Have you checked your medicine cabinet lately for expired or unused medications? To keep your family safe, it's important to store medications safely and review expiration dates. Remember, medications come in many forms. They could be unused pills, inhalers, liquids, or ointments. Take meds seriously. Use them safely, store them safely, and dispose of them safely. To learn more, go to TakeMedSeriouslyOregon.org.
Power of Lincoln City, the power of choice for you.
Today is the best day you'll have to test drive a new or late model car or truck at Power Lincoln City. Today is the best day you'll ever have to shop the hundreds of cars and trucks on Power Lincoln City's website. New and late model cars and trucks from Power Lincoln City, because today is the best day.
Power of Lincoln City, the power of choice for you.
At George Morgan Plumbing in Lincoln City, we've been a part of the community for years. We're open for everyone. Whether you're a first-time plumbing do-it-yourselfer, a homeowner who's remodeling or fixing up your rental property, when it comes to plumbing, we'll treat you just like the pros. With a staff of plumbing experts who are here to help you every step of the way, no matter if you need to fix a drippy faucet or plumb an entire new home, we can help. So when it comes to plumbing, remember George Morgan Plumbing. Open Monday through Saturday on Highway 101 and High School Drive, across from the cinemas in Lincoln City.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
Get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Hotline continues on News Talk 1310 KNPT, AM 1400 KBCH, and AM 820 KWDP.
All right, we are back on Hotline talking this morning with Michael Banks, professor with Oregon State University, and of course you also collaborate with NOAA. We were kind of talking during the break a little bit about how there's been, let's say, a shift in how you've been able to work because of the shutdown with the government right now. Can you talk a little bit about how that's affected your work?
Well, you know, it has a couple of practical issues. For example, my office, I am very happily hosted by the NOAA government in terms of where my office is. I'm in one of the NOAA buildings, although I'm an OSU professor. They're happy to have me there as I direct this institute. But of course, that building is now closed, so I don't have access to my office right now, along with all my colleagues who work with Simmers. So many of us have had to move into OSU territory. A lot of us are in the library or having to work from home, and that makes a big difference. And then, of course, as I described, the whole magic of what we do is all about collaborating with our NOAA partners, and we are not able to collaborate with them when they are shut down and not able to work. And I just want to say, I have a moment publicly here. I'm really sorry about your lot, folks. I hope that this is all over soon and we can all get back to work together. It's
beautifully said. Mark, has there been an impact with you and Hatfield?
It's funny because every scientist and faculty at OS at Hatfield is funded, much like Michael described, by multiple sources of money. Almost none of us work 100% for any single entity, and that's kind of what makes a lot of that magic happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people who are 75% state money, 25% federal money. So they have to 25% not work. if their office, like Michael's, is in a federal building, they're
right.
100% not in their office, but they're 75% still working. So they're 75% working in the library, and which means that efficiency is about 50%. Because you don't have access to your lab
difficult.
Or your tools or your computer. And a lot of our federal partners, their computer literally shuts off. Like if you were to go to the NOAA website right now, you would get a message. Exist page.
Yes.
Yeah. And so even the web content and data sources and anything that streams, any instrumentation that is being projected from the ocean to a server, that server is shut down at the moment.
So are there still, because I know like with the Coast Guard, there's still folks that are
essential.
Working to
right.
protect
yeah, no,
our coast?
You know, actually, our whole organization is a lot more complex than to just be able to shut down with a switch like we were meant to on December 21st. For example, we have one acoustics researcher who's down on the South Pole doing a study there, and fortunately he wasn't planning to use any NOAA resources. He's on other ships, and he's a OSU person working in Simmers, and he's still doing his research down there. Because
we have animals, people who take care of animals, that's part of their research.
Right.
That is essential that you continue feeding them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And let's talk a little bit about the National Science Foundation funded program that you've been working
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a bit on that because it's a very exciting new thing that we are doing. So about 3 or 4 years ago, one of our funding agents, the National Science Foundation, funded the lead of the program, his name is Lorenzo Cianelli, and a group of us from different colleges and departments to try and experiment and learn how to create a new type of graduate student.
Hmm.
It has been noticed by the National Science Foundation that the old model of graduate students mentoring with a single professor and then becoming a copy of that professor, like ones that work with me, learn about genetics and fisheries, and then we get another PhD that's genetics and fisheries. The National Science Foundation has noticed that there's not enough opportunities for that model to be very viable. The rate at which we are producing well-educated people, which is a wonderful thing, a wonderful state of our country, in that method is over-producing the intellectual capital for how many opportunities there are out there for people in senior research positions or at universities. So
yeah, you literally get a copy of what's there
yeah.
when you need something else.
And these days, you know, many of the problems that we're facing are a lot more complex than just in one discipline. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that we are a group of professors from different areas. I'm the only biologist actually on this team. There are people from computer science, there are people from math, and there are people from oceanography, and then very interestingly, there are people from some of the human dimensions, so social scientists, there's a policy person, and somebody from the Department of Sociology. And the idea is that we form these teams of graduate students and professors where each team has to have at least three legs. of different disciplines, and they explicitly need to work together to do what we're calling, or to develop what we call a transdisciplinary sort of perspectives. So, for example, I'm engaged with one project now where I have a student studying with me who is learning population genetics and actually looking at yellow eye population genetics for his one project. But on this NSF-funded project, we are looking at the feasibility of potential sea otter restoration to the Oregon coast, which is obviously a very complex issue. There are significant stakeholder opinions on whether we should or shouldn't do something like that. So obviously it's a situation where I don't have the skills to address all those complexities, and we are engaged with a professor from policy. He has a PhD student by the name of Ben who's bringing that element into this study. And then we have another student who is an ecologist. So in this project we have classic genomic genetics, looking at what genetics of what restoration project would be most successful. We have a policy person looking at all the human dimensions of that, and then the ecologist looking at potential impacts of that.
That's
too.
Cool. That's interesting.
So, and you know,
sorry to interrupt you. We need to take a quick bottom of the break, but I'll take you off pause. I promise. As soon as we come back.
Most Wanted Painters is your local professional color specialist, also offering cabinet refinishing and small drywall and trim repair. If you need your home power washed or the gutters cleaned, Most Wanted Painters can do that too. Learn more at mostwantedpainters.com, CCB 178671.
During last week's Board of Commissioners meeting, County Council Wayne Belmont reported that the vacation request for County Road 500 Jump Off Joe was removed from the agenda as the petitioner withdrew his request for the vacation. The meeting was County Commissioner Terry Thompson's last meeting. He said he had a lot of interest in the project. He said he proposed that the area be turned over to the Oregon State Parks for inclusion in the Oregon Coast Trail. He said providing this area would make the trail smoother to navigate.
In developing that into the trail, you would be able to come about a half mile farther south and come up a low gradient trail and then Nye Beach, and just be able to go through the community of Nye Beach and then around up to the bridge and over. It would be a lot easier than coming up the way it is now. And that is the original trail.
Commissioner Hunt said he is on the committee looking at the Oregon Coast Trail and confirmed they're trying to close some of the gaps on the trail, and this would certainly help that. The Newport Public Library will show the film The Glass Castle at 6:30 tonight. This 2017 film is based on Jeanette Walls' 2005 best-selling memoir. It depicts Walls' real-life childhood in a dysfunctional family of nonconformist nomads with a mother who's an eccentric artist and an alcoholic father who would stir the children's imagination with hope as a distraction to their poverty. For more information on this and other events, go to newportlibrary.org. The five hospitals of Samaritan Health Services have awarded a total of $450,000 in social accountability grants to local service organizations to be distributed over the next 12 months. Social accountability grants are awarded within Benton, Lincoln, and Linn counties. Funding decisions are made by committees consisting of employees and board members at each Samaritan-affiliated hospital. Funded programs address unmet needs of underserved populations and improve overall community health. Locally, there were 14 organizations that received funding from Samaritan. The social accountability grants are part of a larger Samaritan community benefit program.
The Pig and Pancake Restaurant opens every morning at 6. The Pig and Pancake has 35 different combinations of breakfast. And for lunch, try soups and specials. Everyone loves the Pig and Pancake Restaurant, North Lincoln City, and in Newport's Deco District. The Pig and Pancake Restaurant, hotline forecast rain today, high 52 degrees. East wind, 10 to 15 miles an hour, gusts as high as 25. Rain tonight, low 48 degrees. Southeast wind, up to 15 miles an hour with higher gusts. Rain tomorrow, high 53 degrees. 50-50 chance of rain Thursday, high 56.
Log on to OregonCoastDailyNews.com your daily news and information source about the coast, giving you the whole story, along with audio and video. You don't have to buy a subscription to read our news stories online. You can also follow OregonCoastDailyNews.com on Facebook and on Twitter at OC Daily News. Log on to get the latest breaking news, along with information on traffic, weather, upcoming events, and the daily Yaquina Bay Bar Report. On the Internet, make your local news source, OregonCoastDailyNews.com. Hotline continues on News Talk 1310 KNPT, AM 1400 KBCH, and AM 820 KWDP.
All right, we are back on Hotline. I am going to take Professor Banks off of pause, and he's going to continue telling us about this wonderful research and creating, working with these students and what they're doing.
So I guess I just wanted to share about this new project, trying to work with a new species of graduate student, because I think it's in an area of my research and learning where I'm probably learning the most and actually sort of being humbled the most myself, because really what we are required to do there is sit and look into the face of somebody that does things completely differently to us and maybe wants to do things in ways that might not be so comfortable for how we do things and how we know things work. And actually, this NSF has decided they want us to learn these new skills to think in multiple perspectives and want us to learn how to train students to better do that. And so it's really a challenging situation we find ourselves in, but really fun too. I mean, really saying to these kids, you were thinking that already as a geneticist. Why? How are you thinking this about, what is different about how you're thinking about this now because you've been hanging around with a policy person or a human dimensions person? And what human dimension aspects have you now brought into how you think about genetics? Or also the other way around, talking to this person that's very fluent. I mean, what's so fascinating for me is some of these human dimension people are so smooth in the way they can speak about things and, just sort of gloss you over. It's like, no, but wait, what? What is different about how smoothly you're talking about this, given they've been talking to me as a geneticist? We don't think like that. You need to acknowledge what we think in what you are working with. And so it's really a very fun project. And the different collaborators that we have from computer science and math, and they've all kind of got into this, okay, we're going to do this. And so it's really quite fun for geneticists and oceanographers and human dimensions people to have these conversations. And it actually is something we're working on for 5 years. So we just brought in a new cohort of grad students in fall, and we have one more cohort that we'll bring in for 2019.
Do you have to have a support group for your senior faculty to kind of work through the...
Absolutely. In fact, we meet monthly, and I'm excited about our monthly meeting next week because there's some issues I need to bring to the table.
It's going
to be fun.
Exciting.
Well, and actually, I just want to share one other excitement about that. NSF has gone big in this way, and I think there are about 20 different, they're called National Research Traineeship Projects. They're about $5 million each, and there are about 20 of them throughout the country. And we just recently noticed that there are 7 of those that are focusing on marine. And so we are discussing with NSF as to whether they would like us to host a special meeting amongst those 7 different groups. There's some on the East Coast. There's one at UC Davis. There's another one, I think, on the West Coast. And maybe we'll have a meeting in Corvallis where we can share notes on some of the learnings and challenges and how we've overcome them at all the different groups. So that's really, I think that's really cool, too.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's really great about all the collaboration, and is this something that's unique to the West Coast?
Oh, I could put my foot in my mouth now.
Oh, do it. Oh, go for it. Because we're so good.
Of course we only happens here. I would say that that's probably something we're all focusing on at all parts of our development, and I would hope that worldwide we are we're gaining better skills in that regard. But of course, we're leading the way here in Little Newport, Oregon.
Well, because I know in our area, it is we're known as being a leader in collaboration between science and fishermen, for instance.
Well, as I was saying, I think that's the really sweet spot we have here in Newport, is that, you know, the size of our port and our economies, and really kind of we're a little bit isolated too. So in order to succeed, we really have to work together. And I one of the things I was really impressed about when I came here was actually how much we are a place where we can sit down and have honest conversations across people from very different areas and perspectives. And that goes for, I mean, I'm pretty different too. I grew up in Africa. There's not many people with my origin here, but mm-hmm. but people sit down and they're interested in me. And I like that, and I'm interested in them. And there are a lot of different people here that I think have fun learning about each other.
Well, and I think one of the things that we do host a lot of people from the East Coast, a lot of colleagues and agency people. And one thing that they initially are quite uncomfortable with, but some of them grow very fond of, is how socially flat we are.
Yeah.
Okay, no, explain socially flat.
So we are not very hierarchical here. And so, you know, so if Michael and I were back East in various the labs that we would have worked in, I would probably never know him. Because
really?
Socially and career-wise, he would be much higher than me. He would have a vestibule that I would have to sit in and pass through. And there'd be, you know, there'd be hierarchy to get to him. And so the way we work here at Hatfield is, well, we all have different titles and different positions and different levels of importance. We all are socially mingled. And that makes a lot of good stuff happen.
I was going to say that really benefits the work.
It does. And so when the East Coast folks come and they are wearing the suit, the uniform, and they look for their people, they can't find them. And so they start feeling a little at loss as to where to connect. And, you know, it's wonderful. We have Donut Day every Wednesday. And our world-class scientists are mingling with our first-year grad students. And that is perfectly acceptable. And everyone is allowed to approach everyone.
That's amazing.
I would just want to say, I think it's also just a situation that just keeps on arising because we are the size we are. And I have to just share this one thought that came up as you were describing. I used to surf when I was a young kid with blonde hair and a lot fitter than I am now. but I recently turned 59, and it just so happened that was a day where the swell was just right for a wave to happen under the bridge. And I have a young son who's 21, and he invited me to go surfing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go and do that. And actually, I had the most wonderful birthday surfing under the bridge in Newport, of all places. And what was really interesting about that was there was people from ODFW also surfing under the bridge. And they go, Michael, I didn't know you were on the water. They were really surprised to see Michael out there. But then also there was this young kid, friend of my son's, called Sam, who's the son of the optometrist who is just near right here now. Mm-hmm. I was in his office last week getting new glasses, and that's how we operate.
Yep.
We all just...
I love it. I love it.
And we go surfing together sometimes. It's wonderful.
It's amazing. All right. Well, we need to take another quick break, and we will come back with a chat with Michael Banks, professor from OSU, and Mark Farley right after this.
Georgia Pacific knows the value of safety. Did you know that half of home fire fatalities occur between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. when most people are asleep? Test your smoke alarm once a month by pushing the test button. Replace an alarm if it doesn't work when tested. Children and older adults may need help waking up. Make sure someone will wake them if the smoke alarm sounds. When the smoke alarm does sound, go outside and stay there. Your family should have a designated outdoors meeting place. This safety message was brought to you by Georgia Pacific. Approximately 2 miles up Highway 34, just out of Walport, you'll find Alsea Bay Power Products. Alsea Bay Power Products sells, services, and repairs all kinds of small engines in their state-of-the-art shop. They're an authorized dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, and Honda power equipment. Plus, Alsea Bay Power has brand new Evinrude and Nissan Outboards. And their popular selection of Carhartt clothing for men and women is a huge favorite. Alsea Bay Power Products, 2 miles east of Walport on Highway 34.
Come into Lowe's this new year for savings on everything you need to cut the clutter and start fresh. Get your entire home in order with up to 25% off on select storage and organization products, including a Commander 5-gallon black tote, just $368. It's perfect for storing away holiday decorations and getting the garage in order for the new year. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through January 31st. While supplies last, U.S. only.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
Get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Armed National Guard.
The National Guard for me was a perfect fit. I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I didn't find that in the normal day-to-day life. I didn't find that working behind a desk. I realized being hands-on and being a soldier was something that would keep me active, keep me outside, keep me in that team environment that I craved and that I needed so much. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake. I wanted to be in Boise, Idaho. I wanted to be home. The National Guard gave me the opportunity to stay right where I was, serve my country and my community, and it was the best of both worlds. I grew up flying bush planes in Alaska with my dad. I was fortunate enough to get my pilot's license. I wanted to be in helicopters. I wanted to be a crew chief. The Army National Guard gave me a chance to fly helicopters now instead of fixed-wing aircraft.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Oregon Army National Guard. Aired by the Oregon Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hotline continues on News Talk 1310 KNPT, AM 1400 KBCH, and AM 820 KWDP.
All right, we are back on Hotline talking with OSU Professor Michael Banks and Mark Farley from Hatfield Marine Science Center. I hope that you've enjoyed the hour as much as we have, but we were just saying during the break, we've had such a fascinating conversation. We actually haven't had a chance to really talk about why you were here, which is your work on salmon genetics. So tell us a little bit about that and what you do with that.
So I'm classically trained as a population geneticist, and the sort of thing that I do in that aspect of my training is to look at relationships between different populations and sort of subpopulation segments. And that often is very useful for helping manage different aspects of their life so that in the long run, our grandchildren will still be able to enjoy and capture and delight in salmon in their habitat. So, for example, I've spent a lot of time looking at discriminating different life histories of Chinook salmon that are a really very wonderful creature in all the different ways in which they've figured out how to do life. Some of them come back and spawn in the spring, others maybe in the winter and in the fall and in the late fall. And prior to, I guess, the revolution in genomics and genetics, we weren't able to discriminate those different life history types. They all look the same, but they have very different behaviors. And we have now been able to actually find genes associated with those different aspects of life. And so I guess as my career has developed, I've been very fascinated with looking beyond just classic population discrimination and actually thinking, wow, you know, what are the genetic tools and mechanisms behind all these wonderful differences? And so I've been interested in different aspects of how populations discriminate in terms of time. And obviously those different runs are related to time, but also other aspects. So, you know, what aspect does their ability to smell, something we call olfaction, affect the way in which they do life? Obviously, salmon are well known for their behavior of returning to specific rivers where they were born, and it's known that, that they probably use smell as some of that return migration. And we actually, one of my students was the first person to isolate receptors, I called olfactory receptors, in coho salmon, for example, and that actually helped us discriminate some of the populations.
So the ones that are good at it are genetically tuned finer to do that, and the ones that are poor at it aren't? Is it that simple?
I guess I think all salmon are good at olfaction, but they may be experiences that they go through in their life, perhaps because of their rearing in a hatchery, where they may not be quite as good as others, and
they can't take advantage of the tool they have.
So it's actually well known that hatchery fish typically may stray a lot more than wild fish. So, but another aspect that I've gotten really interested in is it's also probably true that most creatures, when they choose their mates, may be using all aspects of their senses. And smell is obviously a key one there, but obviously there may be other senses that they are using. And we have two very interesting pedigrees, which were formed from a 10-year study, where one of them is in coho and the other one's in chinook, where because the fish return to rivers, we can actually capture them and fin clip them, so we get DNA from all of them. And in both these cases, we knew that some of them had hatchery origin and others of them had wild origin. And then we let them go and make their mate choices and spawning decisions out in the wild. And then, you know, the life history of salmon, they then go out to the ocean. And then because of this wonderful trait that they have of returning, they'll come back to that same place. And we caught them again 3 and 4 years later. And we could look at their genetics and match them to the previous ones. So we knew which ones originated from hatchery spawnings and which ones originated from wild spawnings. And even they were hybrid matings. And we could figure this all out. And on average, we showed that the average hatchery fish had very much less returns than the wild fish. And now we're actually trying to figure out what was different about the way in which those wild fish made those choices, which beget them more fit offspring. And with that, we hopefully maybe will be able to better learn how to mate fish in hatcheries in a more wild-like way. To increase their fitness. And if you're interested, I would love to invite my postdoc on that project another time, because we can have a whole hour conversation about this project. But I'm just telling you how fascinating my job is now, and that we have tools now to go after genes involved with all these different aspects of life. And smell is one too. And another one that I can't, if we have a moment, is... We've always been fascinated with how salmon know where they are during their ocean migration, because it's clear that different life histories and populations go to different parts of the ocean. And so I've had another student trying to figure out, you know, what do salmon use as the GPS unit? And let's get back to that when we come back.
Yes, we have to take our last break. We'll be coming back and wrapping up. And we will have Michael on again to further talk about this subject. So we'll be right back.
Now that the holidays are done, it's a great time to get the home cleaned and organized. Store away holiday decorations with a big selection of totes from Mills Ace Hardware's two stores in Lincoln City. Choose from the shoebox size all the way up to a 28-gallon size. Maximize your storage space with 5 shelving units, now on sale at $29.99. Mills Ace Hardware's two stores in Lincoln City. Ace is the place.
This is Michael Nowak with the Master Gardeners of the Oregon State University Extension Service with today's Extension Spotlight. Bring diversity into your home landscape by planting a hedgerow. A hedgerow is composed of a variety of plants, unlike a hedge, which is normally a single species pruned into some unnatural shape. The ever-changing hedgerow includes long rows of mixed shrubs and trees. It usually consists of plant varieties that flower at different times of the year. These can be both deciduous and evergreen plants. They attract wildlife, provide windbreaks, prevent erosion, and provide a privacy screen. A well-planned hedgerow will retain water and reduce evaporation by blocking drying summer winds. For more information, please call the Extension Office at 574-6534 and ask how you can obtain a copy of the Guide to Hedgerows publication. This has been Extension Spotlight.
Welcome back to Hotline on News Talk 1310 KNPT, AM 1400 KBCH, and AM 820 KWDP.
All right, we're wrapping up on Hotline this morning. I'm Kira Morgan with Professor Michael Banks and Mark Farley. So, Professor, wrap us up.
So I just wanted to share that last bit of excitement in that another PhD student I had the pleasure to work with actually provided evidence that salmon may be using geomagnetic forces to actually navigate where they are in the ocean, and that's how they achieve these discrete sort of behavior patterns of where the different river fish and life histories go in the ocean. And so that's ongoing research and very exciting. And I just want to finish off by saying I feel very blessed to have the job I have here. It's been a wonderful experience, and I hope that I can continue to enjoy those blessings. And it's been fun sharing with you today on that.
And thank you, because we've learned a lot. And I look forward to having you on again. So, Mark, also in wrapping up, you've got some events
coming
up.
Yeah, we've got a couple events this weekend. Shark Week kind of has its culminating moment January 12th. At 1:30, we'll be doing a necropsy, a public necropsy there in the Visitor Center. And that is essentially a nice word for chopping it up and showing you what's inside. It's pretty popular. There's about 300 people that show up for that. So if you want to come, come early. It is graphic and wonderful, and that's 1:30. And it's a salmon shark, 300-pound salmon shark that we'll be necropsying. And Bill Honshoemaker will be doing that, and he's fabulous, fabulous educator. And then January 15th, Kristen Don from ODF&W will be talking about marine reserves at the Rogue for Science on Tap.
Fantastic. And Science on Tap is held at the Rogue in South Beach.
Yeah.
And that's also
doors
a
open at 5:15.
Yeah, right?
Family friendly. So, and those are usually casual science talks, lots of questions and answers, nice atmosphere to just learn something and eat some food.
So I have to share this. I thought it was kind of funny that I was at an event somewhere and someone was talking about a Science on Tap, and someone said, "Oh, is that like the science of beer and how those taps work or something?"
Yeah.
And we're like,
no.
And I had to I had to giggle and turn away. So I thought that was really interesting. But it is a great opportunity to get out, enjoy a little bit of Rogue food and beverage if you'd like, and hear about some of the great things that are going on in the science community.
Yeah, we do it every month.
And Hatfield, of course, is open now.
10 to 4. We're on our winter hours. We're closed Tuesday, Wednesday. So we see a lot of sad faces coming to the door. So to check the hours before you plan to bring your family over.
And you've got the octopus.
We are between octopus at the moment. But we have a new one. He's in the back. He's getting acclimated. And we'll be back in the octopus business here pretty quick.
Sounds fantastic. And where can folks go to find out some more information?
hmsc.oregonstate.edu.
Sounds fantastic. And again, Professor Banks, thank you so much for coming in and sharing with us this morning on Hotline. You've been a fascinating and incredible guest, and I appreciate you coming in and sharing with us, and look forward to having you on in the future as well.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
All right. We always try to have fun here on Hotline. And thanks for listening this morning. I hope that you have an enjoyable rest of your day.